You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. We started touching on NCAA basketball last week, but we're going to take a step back from the college world a little bit, and we're going to revisit USA Basketball's very, very busy last year. And it is a pleasure to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' Carol Cowling, who is officially titled the Women's National Team Director, but she basically does anything that you see out there for your women's basketball involving USA Basketball. Carol, how are you today?
Great, David. Thanks for having me. It's a cool but beautiful day in Evanston, Illinois.
Well, Carol, you know, first thing I want to say is that on the front of our page right now, hopefully people watched the video before coming here, was a chat I had last week with Gino Auriemma, who, of course, was your head coach of your senior national team. And during that, Gino referred to you as the greatest Olympian of all time, that you had that you had more gold medals and that you have had something to do with basically almost every woman that has won a gold medal in USA Basketball. What do you say to that?
Well, clearly Gino has it figured out that if he's complimentary to people, they'll do anything for him. And feel about that guy. He's a terrific guy. And I think, you know, I smile because with me we'd win nothing. With players and coaches is how we win gold medals. I just happen to have had the best ride possible over the last 20 years. To observe everything that's happened, and it's truly been fun because I fortunately was in on the front end even before we started our national team program to see how things went. I'm obviously an observer for many years, but I was on a selection committee starting in '89, so I've been able to watch the '92 Olympics on, and then directly involved from '96 on, and it's truly been fun to watch the birth of professional leagues as they currently stand. There obviously were professional leagues in the U.S. before the WNBA. But just to watch how everything unfolded has been really special. So the fruits of everyone's labors are really fun to be a part of.
Well, it was a great summer for USA Basketball and fall, of course, with the senior national team winning gold at the World Championships for Women. But also, if people don't follow some of the other programs, the U18 won gold at the FIBA Americas, the Youth Olympic team won gold, and even the FIBA 3x3 and 3-on-3 World Championships teams won again. So it's been quite an accumulation of gold this summer.
It has been a great summer, and it's been a great couple of years. We've seemed to have found a good model for training the teams, for having continuity over sort of a two-year period with our U16, U17 program, or U18, U19 program. And then we have an awful lot of continuity at our senior level. And the other kind of fun thing is the 3-on-3 competitions allow the players to see basketball in a different light. Basically, you have a coach that prepares you, but you cannot have a coach during the game. So, and 3-on-3 spreads the floor. Really makes you're kind of out there almost like an individual sport athlete where you have to really rely on what you know about basketball. So it's a different type of game and a very enjoyable game and a mature game. And so we're able to have players that have played on our national teams participate. But with our senior level 3-on-3, we were able to get a player like Tiffany Mitchell and Sarah Hammond, who haven't played on our national teams before, to be a part of our program, and it really was a nice thing.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to this year's group that won gold, but I had talked to the last one, and you know that was, of course, Ann Strother, Bria Hartley, Skylar Diggins, and Chinea Igumike. And each of the three youngsters all commented how they felt that the 3-on-3 game improved their 5-on-5 game because of, like you said, the need to think on your feet, react. You know, there's much more read-react on the court than there is when you're only watching for yourselves.
When you consider 5-on-5, really it's broken down into a 2-on-2 and a 3-on-3 kind of game. And then everybody just gets in the way. Well, on 3-on-3, it's a very basic, quick, you know, 12-second shot clock. You've got to make your decisions quickly. You read and react very fast, and it forces a player to do that. You know, rather than sometimes in 5-on-5, it almost seems like it's so directive, running a play without really, you know, being creative within that. And 3-on-3 allows the creativity to shine for players. But we've taken it now. We just had a regional skills camp here in Chicago for sort of all comers. It was part of our youth division, although we used some of our national team trials concept. And we did most of our scrimmaging was 3-on-3. And because you not only scrimmage and you get to play and keep score, but you're also learning the game more so, and you have to rely on each other. Sometimes the 5-on-5 game in trials and scrimmage settings like that just kind of devolves into a 1-on-1 who can run up and down the court fastest. So I really like the 3-on-3 for teaching, and the players have, as you just said, they really enjoy playing it.
One of the things that you mentioned just there that I wanted to touch on, in sort of a circular fashion, it was mentioned how this was a vehicle to bring Tiffany Mitchell and Sarah Hammond in. Once you get into USA Basketball's program, you guys are very, very loyal, and that sometimes raises some people's questions about development and how players get in, but they continue. But you guys are always looking a few years in advance. For example, just looking at the senior national team this year, the questions were about the inclusion in the program of Stephanie Dolson, who is a reserve center in the WNBA right now, Bria Hartley, a rookie guard, and the exclusion of some others that had comparable. But these are people that have been through USA Basketball, have gold medals, and you guys always reward the people that give you their time.
Well, yeah, and I think it's not sort of blind loyalty. I think there's certainly a method to the madness. It's interesting that you brought up two former UConn players, because I do think there's criticism, as Gino is the head coach, that, you know, people think we have too many UConn players involved. Well, I think that is, you know, both Stephanie and Bria were USA Basketball players before they went to UConn. So, you know, I think you can look at it in whatever way you want. And not, you know, we're not going to worry about how people look at it necessarily. We try to look at, well, what is it that Stephanie Dolson brings to us? And Stephanie Dolson is probably the best passing post player of the young post players at the moment. And when you have coaches who want, you know, think of it, you've got five great players on the floor at any one time. So if you have five one-on-one players who only know how to score and shoot without setting anybody else, setting a good screen, making a good pass, well then, okay, you know, that's an all-star team. But what we're trying to do is not only have the best players playing, but have people set up those best players. And that's what we're trying to see and figure out. You know, you could take it a step further. We had two players that didn't get to play a whole lot on our world championship team, young players, Odyssey Sims and Brianna Stewart. And, you know, I think the beauty of the system now is that there are so many young players that are good that you could put anybody's name into that. And those two players are able to watch, absorb what the veterans do, the Sue Birds, the Diana Taurasi's. Tamika Catchings didn't play this year, but she's a three-time Olympian. They get to absorb and watch and learn from the best, and it's good for us. Could we have put some older players on that maybe, you know, could maybe get on the court and play a little bit more? Maybe, but you can't play really with 12 players in a tournament. And then if you don't have veterans playing, the mix gets a little bit difficult unless, again, of course, they're the right veterans. So what we try to do is always with an eye to the future, train the young ones along with winning and making sure that we have a good rotation in the lineup. So there's a lot of little things. We could go a million different directions on how we pick a team, but, you know, for me now to circle back to loyalty, I think somebody that understands it and we've trained and we've taught them, you know, it's been good for us, and we've been winning gold medals with that model.
You know, one thing that you mentioned that is clearly becoming an issue, only in the sense of that time never loses. You know, the team is currently heading into a transition phase, as you mentioned. You did have Sims and Stewart on the team this time. You know, is there ever a time that you can imagine, and of course, just you know, down the road, where you would just say no if a person like a Super, Diana Taurasi, Tamika Catchings, the three veterans that you mentioned, you know, if they want to continue to play, is there ever a time where USA Basketball just says, we got, you know, if they still can play, that you just say no, we got to get younger?
You know, that's the hardest and million-dollar question as it exists. You know, there have been some veteran players who have been Olympians who, you know, might be one or two-time Olympians where we do need to move on. And, you know, I think if somebody really looks in the mirror, you know, they probably go, okay, yeah, I get it. And, you know, maybe I'm not quite what I was, or, okay, I get it that you're trying to go this direction. It still may be difficult for that person to absorb it, but, you know, that has happened now. When you move into the realm of three- and four-time Olympians, that's really that's a tough thing for them and for us, because you know what they can do and what they offer, not just on the court, but off the court. So the key question would be, can a four-time Olympian give up a starting role? And so you know, those are the kinds of things that are in the back of your mind. You know, I think the veteran point guard always is so valuable. I remember Dawn Staley, she's a three-time Olympian, and I remember, so her second Olympics was in 2000. I remember standing in a corner with Pat Summitt and Val Ackerman, and they both had, obviously Val was involved as a board of director and became president of USA Basketball. And the question is, who's going to take Dawn Staley's place? And it was like, oh, my God, who's going to take Dawn Staley's place? Well, Sue Bird obviously has stepped in and done a nice job, and Lindsay Whalen has stepped in and done a very nice job. So while we commiserate about who's next, those things sort of tend to take care of themselves. And I think most athletes, while they wish they could be at an Olympics forever, they're pretty realistic, and as they play through the WNBA or overseas, they start to see, you know, my body just can't do it. But more importantly, their mind kind of says to them, you know, it's time. So even though there's a huge unknown ahead of us, it tends to work out, and these Olympians are smart. They know, and they know their bodies really well.
Now, you mentioned the addition of Breonna Stewart, obviously a tremendous, tremendous talent who has done great things already for USA Basketball and for UConn. She seemed to follow in the shoes of Maya, who followed in the shoes of Candace. I know there's not a rule, but there's clearly a trend. Do you guys like to try and take a top-notch college player if you can?
Yeah, you know, it is funny because we did do that with Maya. And I think even Candace Parker in 2006 was kind of a college player.
Right.
Whether they were still going back to college or had just come from it with no real experience. I think it's probably a function of two things. Number one, we like to get young kids involved, but we're not going to take a college player just to take a college player. I think it's more a function of how good those three were or are. And if, in fact, there's a college player that currently exists that isn't good enough, we wouldn't take them. I do think that, you know, that rookie in the WNBA or the first, the three-year player. Let's use Nneka Nwumike as an example. Nneka broke through onto the world championship team this year, but she had to be patient. You know, would we just take a college player and not take a Nneka? Probably not. But Breanna Stewart is a special college player, so that does work in this setting. So, no, there's no rule, but you know, it's also talented players rise to the top regardless of their age.
Now, as we continue down, the other issue that came up, for lack of a better word to put it, I'll use issue, was to some people, well, is Geno coming back? Now, he's the first one that did it, that has done it. But he followed. Now, USA Basketball, of course, on the other side, you know, Mike Krzyzewski was back too. So it appears that the USA Basketball programs decided that they wanted to try and have some continuity on the senior national team. Is that something that, you know, again, same thing, was it the right person at the right time? Or, you know, is that something that you guys would like to see, is somebody sign on for a two-terms, if that's possible, whoever Geno's successor is in the future? Or is this just something that just, like I said, right place, right time?
Yeah, I think it's right place, right time. I don't know that we are thinking that this is the way we definitely want to go. You know, if you look at all of our coaching coaches, you know, when we have a two-year program, like the U16 qualifies for the next year's U17, and we try to keep some of those players intact, we also try to keep the head coach intact. We don't necessarily promise anything to the assistant coaches that they get multiple terms, but by and large, that's been a trend simply because of the concept of continuity. With you know, on the men's side, they have a coach that always does the U17s, Don Showalter. He's a great guy. And there's a loyalty there in it, and players know what to expect. And they found the right model of what it takes to win. We have not done that at any level yet. And I totally understand why they do it, because there's a learning curve for a coach as well as players. And so on the men's side, they found that the learning curve works really well when they have the same guy doing it over and over again. So, you know, there's nothing written that says we have to be democratic, so to speak, and have a new election every 4 years and have a new coach. But there's also nothing that says we're going to do this again in the future. I think it's the right guy at the right time. Geno is a phenomenal coach. There are a lot of factors. Because of the way the WNBA season is and the overseas seasons, we have very little time with our players. As a matter of fact, we picked this world championship team 2 days before. So what you have to have is you have to have players. And when we have a training camp, we'll have a three-day training camp. Well, how can you get a whole lot done in a three-day training camp if you're always changing philosophies and always changing ideas? So the good news with Geno is he's got a style of play. He runs plays, you know, the continuity of plays, the continuity of working with him, that's known. And so because we have very little time together, that quality in a coach of knowledge of coach, understanding of coach, for him to know, works really well. The other piece that's difficult, you know, for WNBA coaches is, if we have a coach, if we pick a great WNBA coach, chances are they're going to be in the finals of the WNBA every year. And all of a sudden, you know, we've been training when we don't have a competition, and all of our training in the fall seems to overlap the WNBA finals because we're trying to do right by the players, because they're going to have to go overseas, and to keep them out of their overseas teams keeps them away from some of the money that they could be making. So, you know, so we just have to shoehorn our training in as best we can. But because we do that, that makes it really difficult and limits who can coach our team. Not so much who can be an assistant coach, because Cheryl Reeve did a great job this year. And you know, unfortunately for her and the Lynx, they exited the finals, or they exited the playoffs before the finals. So she was able to be with us the whole time. But if she went on into the playoffs, much like her players, we wouldn't get them until Istanbul. Well, you got to have somebody else coaching the team as a head coach in that case. So, you know, I guess what we do is we want to win gold medals. We want to do the best that we can. We want to have the best players and coaches involved. And to do that, you know, it's kind of the old phrase, you can't have it all. So we just try and figure out what works best for us, and then we do it.
That's a great point that I think a lot of people don't think of, is the fact that a WNBA coach with a team like the Lynx that could make it to the finals just every year, you got that problem of not having your head coach available, never mind not having the players. One thing that Gino
said... One thing that people think, you know, they don't really get how we work. They, you know, like just a casual person thinks that we have our players with us in Colorado Springs Training Center for year round. And we really don't. And, you know, the mental wear and tear as well as the physical wear and tear on these players, they play so much that they're always looking for downtime. And what we don't want to do is have coming to USA Basketball feel like it's a punishment more than it's a privilege. So we have to be very focused, and we have to be very on task and on point when they come to our training camps. And the fact that Gino is our coach helps in that, because they know exactly what to expect. They come in, they go out. When we had, you know, 3 years ago when we trained in May of 2012, with just our Olympic team, we went to Seattle. We brought them in on like a Friday, practiced once that night, practiced in the morning and played an exhibition game, well, a closed scrimmage kind of with Japan. Then we played China the next day, and they went home that night. So they came in, they were with us for 3 days, but they only gave up 3 days. And so, again, it's just so much easier if they're not having to learn something completely new. And while we would love to share the head coaching position with a lot of great coaches out there, it may not be the best for USA Basketball and for winning a gold medal.
When one of the things that Gino said was that while he had more fun in Turkey than he did in any of the prior competitions that he had coached, he said he did acknowledge it is getting tougher to pick because of the fact that the talent is evening out. And also the fact that things come together so late. Now, I don't think you guys had hoped to have it come in as late as it did because of Brittany's injury.
Right.
But, you know, is there anything that can be done to try and give you guys a little bit more time?
Well, you know, so much of that really depends on the athletes. Because what we're really trying to do is find time to train the athletes, but then they have to go, yep, I'm coming. And, you know, they all can say that they're going to come, but then when it actually comes time to come, are they healthy? Are they available? You know, is somebody trying to pull them in a different direction? And that's where, again, we try to not do that. We don't want to waste their time. So Gino and I talked about this next year. You know, can we try to do something in the spring? Well, we, you know, Maya Moore and Brittany go over to China, and China ends earlier. So we could do something a little earlier in the spring, but the problem then is the others don't come back until mid-May. And then when they come back, they want some time off before they have to go into their WNBA season. So what we found a long time ago when there was an ABL and a WNBA, we might have to just train like we did. We trained the ABL players during the summer and the WNBA players during the winter, but we never got them all together. So we have to kind of take, you know, it's like an orchestra. Let's take the wind section and work with them, and then we'll take the brass section. We'll work with them. We'll take the percussion session. We'll work with them, and then for one day, we'll bring everybody together and make beautiful music. That's almost the philosophy we have to have as we approach our training camps with our 35-ish member national team, is we're going to train each of those parts, and then when we bring it all together, we're going to have to make it be beautiful music or beautiful basketball at that point. And that, so we're going to try and do something like in the spring, and then we're always going to try and do something in the fall, maybe take a trip overseas, and then something that might be a little break in this sort of, you know, scheduling woe of leagues, The EuroLeague is talking about having national team breaks in their schedule. And if that happens, we might be able to get some of our national team players, like we would go over to Europe and find a place to train, maybe a really nice site, and during one of those national team breaks, train our team. There the issue becomes, though, what Gino is doing with his team. So while we might want to go overseas to do that, we may have to go, you know, with somebody that can work with them under the long-distance supervision of Gino, or we may just say, look, let's take a trip to New York and let's train, and Gino, you know, Gino can do double duty maybe with his team during the week and train our team as well, and maybe we have a national team from France or Spain come over and have a long weekend with us. So the challenges continue, but it looks like maybe the scheduling might loosen up just a little bit.
Well, I think you deserve it, Carol. I mean, you think they'd keep you on break? You know, I think you should just call the head of FIBA and say, look, I've been doing this for a long time, and I need a break. So can you throw me a bone here, will you?
Well, the good news is I've gotten in my old age, I've decided, you know what, we're going to go to nice places from here on out. So maybe that's part of it. I don't mind the travel. I kind of want to go see, you know, the Eiffel Tower a little bit more now.
Was that better than Bridgeport?
Hey, Bridgeport was great.
Bridgeport was great, actually.
Great facilities there. Yeah, they really do. You know, sometimes, and this is what I love about our players, they're all business sometimes when they're with us. And, you know, sometimes just staying in your hotel room and taking a nap is really a good thing.
I'm sure that it is. I'm the schedule that you guys keep. Well, Carol, congratulations on winning more gold for all that you do, you know, for USA Basketball. I know, you know, we as fans and we as people in the media appreciate all that you do and the accessibility that you guys have to answer all of our questions. It means a lot to everybody.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and I don't mind. Really, it's great to get the word out. It's great for you to ask the questions. You know, and I know sometimes we're the big they, and they do this and they do that, but there is really a method to the madness. No, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to explain it, and I appreciate the coverage. You guys are great.
So how do I get on the selection committee next? That's my next stop.
Well, the board of directors will have to know that you exist. But even if you can't be on the selection committee, you can always give me your opinions. And you know, it's funny because people do come with opinions. We're always looking for a good opinion, so feel free to send them our way.
Sounds good. Carol, thanks again. Enjoy a little bit of time off, and I'm sure that we'll be seeing you on the road again shortly.
Absolutely. Thank you.